May the Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The epistle lesson this morning starts out with a warning as such, a statement of fact where St. John looks at everyone and wonders almost why they are concerned or why they are wondering about certain things when he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." It almost comes across as from John's perspective, as why do you even concern yourself with this? It gives us a glimpse into the life of the church that maybe they were wondering what's going on, how come they were experiencing so much hostility from the world. And then John comes back with, "Marvel not that the world hates you." And as you read 1 John, we looked into it a little bit last week, but I would commend the whole epistle to you to read when you have a chance. As you look at that, John not only talks about the love that God has for us, which was the subject last week and will be the subject this week, but he also talks about that there are two clear and competing sides in this world. And he calls one the world and the other then for those of us who are with God and with Christ. And he says that they are at odds with one another, and while one side, the side of God and the side of Christ, responds out of love, the other side responds out of hate, because that is all they can respond out of. And one of the reasons that they respond out of hate is because the love that God has not only for us who have chosen to walk with Him, but also for those who continue to walk away from Him, and the love that He continues to show to them and the redemptive mercy that He continues to extend to them if they would only grab hold. That love continues to show them each and every day and remind them of their fallenness. And so as often as is the case, they continue to rebel and they continue to pull back. It's not a good illustration because you could come back and say that I'm calling sinners cockroaches. But oftentimes the way we respond, and I can say we, when we have sin in our life, is like cockroaches respond to light. If you turn on light, they scatter. And that tends to be what happens with us. When we know that we have sin in our life and we are faced with the divine light of God, we tend to scatter. We tend to pull back. Oftentimes, we can say that when we know, as Christians, that we have sin in our life, it may be at those times that we want to pull back from the church or pull back from God's sacraments, because those are the times that the light of God's grace shines so clearly. And we don't want to expose that. We kind of get away like that maybe God doesn't realize or God doesn't know. He knows. He knows. And while that grace and while that light that is bestowed may hurt for some time, it is there, it is given out of love. Because it is God that loves us. And that love calls us to Himself and calls us to come further and come closer to Him. Now, because that we see this commandment in the world, and because John tells us that there are those who will hate us and those who will later seek our death, he says the only way we can respond to that is to love one another, especially those he terms the brethren, those who are members of the church. Now sure, our love is to extend to everyone, and I want to footstomp that. Okay, our love is to extend to everyone. But most especially, our love is to extend to those who are in the church. Because it is we are in this battle together. We are walking this path together. And as the world continues to hit us from all sides, as the world continues to get at us from all sides, we need that place where we can come, not only recharge, but see lived out each and every day what God is talking about. And that is the church. That is where we meet together and we see with our own eyes and feel with our own hearts what God is talking about. Now, St. John goes on in to say that there are some that will be part of the brethren that are in great need. And that there are some that have a lot of help that needs to be given to them. And he said, it is up to us. It is up to us to reach out and to extend that hand and meet that need if we have the ability. Again, I want a footstone. We are called to love everyone. We are called to help anywhere we can. But most especially, we are called to help those that are members of Christ's body. And that's what's so amazing about this passage. As he lets us know that there are times that we will have problems, and there are times that we will have needs. Now, what is so amazing or so shocking is that it seems that the group that John is writing to has lost this. Because he lets them know, if you see your brother in need and have need and have the means to help them, but don't, the love of God is not in you. He's saying that if we can look out and see those, especially members of Christ's body, that are in need, and we have the means to help them. He does add that little qualifier. And we have the means to help them, but don't help them, then the love of God is not in us. Now, does it mean that that shows that we just don't want to let go of anything? No. What it shows is that we are holding ourselves higher than the love of God. Later on in this passage, he says, this is how we know that we love God. His Spirit testifies with our spirit. See, John is setting the bar so high that we cannot do it on our own will. This is not some type of works righteousness that John is talking about. John is not saying that in order to love God, you must do this, this, and this. He's saying if you truly love God, you will do this, this, and this. You see, because for a little bit of time, we could probably get through life just looking at Scripture as a bunch of rules and regulations and laws and checking those things off. And we could look at our life much that same way. Well, do you go to church? Yep, did that. Do I go to Bible study? Yep, did that. Do I help out around? Yep, did that. And as long as it does not hit or does not affect anything that is of more importance to us, we're perfectly willing to do it. But when the time comes where the church or where God calls us to do something that is more important than that, then we would have problems and then we would hold back. It could be as simple as a call going out for some type of missions work, and yet we have set aside a little bit of money to do something that we want, and we feel the tug of God that says maybe we should take that and put it to the missions. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep it back because this is what we want to do. I have a friend in ministry who was in a church business meeting, and he said that he just as the business meeting went on and on and on, he felt God convict him more and more and more about what he needed to say. It seems that the church had a little bit of money, and they were setting aside this money, and there was a division. Do we want to buy a van for the youth? And he said the church really needed a youth van. The youth had kind of exploded, and so they needed a van to haul them around. Or there was some other thing, and I think it was something to do with the building. And, you know, and so there was a division. What do we want to do with this money? And he said, as he sat there and talked about it, suddenly the term came up, what do we want to do with our money? And he said, for some reason, that just burned him down to his soul. Because he said, you know what? This is not our money. This is God's money. So he stopped the meeting right there. He said, I tell you what. He said, I want everyone to go home and pray. And next month we'll come back together and we'll decide. Now oftentimes when leaders of the group say, I want you to pray about this, what we're really trying to do is say, we want to table this and back out of it. But he was seriously saying, I want you to go home and pray. He said, because I believe that we need to send this money to a mission. He said, suddenly everybody just kind of hush. The meeting adjourned. Now, he was moved from the church not long after that. It would be a great story. It would be a great story. But you see what he said? You see what he said? Even within the church, they had begun to see things as mine. Another friend of mine who serves a church in Louisiana, at the end of the year, they suddenly found out that their church had a $50,000 surplus. Paid all their bills. Everything was done. All the money came in. Now, the church he serves, by law, you cannot carry a surplus from one year to the next. You have to zero out everything. And he said, so they're sitting there, what do we do with this $50,000? Suddenly, a call came in. The missions that was run in the downtown area of this city had suddenly lost a big chunk of its funding. One of the grants fell through, and they were going to be $30,000 short that year. My friend went to the group and he says, I know what we need to do with part of this surplus. He says, we need to take that and send it. He said, the church accepted it. I said, yes, we do. We need to do that. Wrote the check. He went down, gave it to the director and said, there's only one rule with this. This is anonymous. You tell everybody that y'all found the money to do it. It was given by a church, but never mentions the church's name. He says later, this was about 3 years ago, that church has experienced phenomenal growth since that time. He said, you know what I believe personally? He said, I believe at that time God was looking at us and saying, what's more important? Can you trust me past the need? Do you truly love those who you are called to serve enough to where you put your pocketbook into it and not just your words into it? What does the epistle tell us? Do not just love in words, but love in deed. Now, the illustrations I used were just money. And you can have other illustrations. Because I believe God wants us to love others more than just with financial resources. And sometimes financial resources are the easiest way to do. But we also need to give time. We also need to give understanding. We also need to give the talent that God has given us to help those around us. That is what God is calling us to do. Because He said the world shows what they want to do. The world hates. The world seeks to destroy. The world seeks to tear down. We seek to love and build up. He says this is what we have to do. And that shows what we consider the most important thing. That shows truly where our heart lies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.